Today, being Valentine's Day, I would like to look at a koan from the Woman Kwan. The Woman Kwan is a collection of koans or dharma exchanges that happened in the past, usually between a Zen student and a teacher. In this case, it is between Ananda, the Buddha's attendant, and Makashapa. The story reflects an ancient student's deep-seated desire to understand the Dharma and penetrate to the source, and that of a teacher whose only wish is to open the Dharma gate as wide as possible and knock down the student's self-induced barriers to understanding. It is a story that transcends time and is as relevant today as it was when it happened some 2,600 years ago. It is a story of love and brotherhood, a story that expresses deep intimacy, speaks to spring, and possibly exhibits a hint of envy. In other words, a perfect story for Valentine's Day. The koan is broken up into three parts. The main case, Wuman's commentary on the case, and Wuman's concluding verse. Let us examine the main case to the koan first. The case. Ananda asked Makashapa, "The world honored one gave you the golden robe. Did he give you anything else?" "Ananda," cried Makashapa. "Yes, sir," answered Ananda. "Knock down the flagpole at the gate," said Makashapa. As for background on these two people, Ananda was said to be born on the day when the Buddha was enlightened. At some point, Ananda became the Buddha's attendant and served the Buddha for some 20 years. After the Buddha died, people relied on Ananda's excellent memory to compile what the Buddha taught. These teachings are known as the Pali Canon. The other person in this exchange, Makashapa, was the Buddha's disciple, who when the Buddha held up and twirled a flower, simply smiled, to which the Buddha replied, "I possess the true Dharma eye, the marvelous mind of Nirvana, the true form of the formless, the subtle Dharma gate that does not rest on words or letters, but is a special transmission outside of the scriptures. This I entrust to Makashapa." Thus beginning the modern era of mind-to-mind transmission, which forms the foundation of Zen Buddhism, a transmission that focuses on the direct experience rather than dogma or intellectual analysis. In our story, which possibly happened soon after the Buddha died, Ananda asked Makashapa, "The world honored one gave you the golden robe. Did he give you anything else?" After all, Ananda had been serving the Buddha and listening to his teachings for some 20 years. What had he missed? Was perhaps Ananda feeling insecure, or possibly a bit envious, that the Buddha chose Makashapa as his Dharma heir and not him? Ananda, like many of us, had been practicing Zen meditation for years, listening intently to every word the Buddha spoke, yet the goal of enlightenment seemed as elusive as ever. Whether Ananda was envious or not, this feeling of being left out and possibly underappreciated is something we all deal with, especially in relationships. The ancient Greeks thought an overproduction of bile, which turned the skin a pale putrid green, caused envy. As such, green is still the color associated with envy. Was Ananda green with envy? No one really knows. Whatever was upsetting him, if he even was upset at all, for perhaps he was just curious. Either way, he got up the courage and asked the question. Sometimes in a relationship, we let stuff get bottled up inside of us. This is usually never good for a relationship, and in the same way can be detrimental to our Zen practice. I'm not a relationship counselor or professional, but usually the problems within a relationship stem from not being listened to or understood. Ananda might have been looking for the secret sauce to enlightenment. What else did the Buddha say to you? There must be something out there that I am missing. As often is the case in a relationship, clear communication is the best medicine. Makashapa hears and understands. He lets Ananda know that the secret sauce he is looking for lies within. How does Makashapa answer this inquiry from Ananda? He answers straight away. No hesitation, no holding back. Ananda, he says. Yes, sir, answers Ananda. This is Zen. Straight, direct, to the point. As we quit attaching to delusive thoughts, our thoughts of the past or our worries of the future, we find ourselves present in the moment. We find the path. Ananda answers directly. He does not think about what to say. He does not contemplate his various responses or how they might be perceived. He doesn't hesitate. So how do we translate this Dharma exchange into our day-to-day life and relationship? Maybe by trying not to let our envy or our own securities get the better of us. Maybe by letting go of past judgment. Maybe by just trying to be present when our lover, partner, or significant other is trying their best to communicate with us. Maybe by the simple act of being present and really listening, we can see our friend or partner in a new light. Makashapa was present with Ananda, and in that moment, Ananda was completely present with Makashapa. Enlightenment is not something outside of ourselves that we need to reach out and grab onto. It is the dropping away of body and mind. As we recite during our morning sittings, how near the truth, yet how far we seek. Like one in water, cry and I thirst. Enlightenment is present inside of us. It is present in everyone and everything. As with enlightenment, the secret sauce to any relationship lies within. As Dogen said, to study the way is to study the self. To study the self is to forget the self. We cannot fix another person. We cannot and should not strive to mold them to how we think they should be. We need to see ourselves clearly and accept who we are. We need to examine our patterns, especially when it comes to relating to others. Relationship experts say, love is when you stop expecting your partner to be perfect. Love manifests when you accept your partner's flaws and, more importantly, accept yourself for who you are. We need to find out who we really are. You can only form better relationships when you become intimate first with yourself. Once that occurs and the self is forgotten, you, your partner, and the world are transformed. Once Ananda answers, Makashapa says, "Knock down the flagpole at the gate." In ancient monasteries, raising a flag was a sign that a tesho or dharma talk was going to be held. In this case, the teaching is over. It is significant. Makashapa doesn't say, "Take down the flag," but instead he says, "Knock down the entire flagpole. There is nothing more." Uman's commentary. If you can give a turning word that is intimate to this case, then you will see that the meeting on Mount Gararatua is still vigorously in session. If you cannot, the Vipassana Buddha is still unable to get the truth, even though he has been striving from earliest time. Can you give a turning word that is intimate to this case? In her book, Most Intimate, which we just finished discussing at the Beginner's Book Club last Sunday, Roshi O'Hara comments, "While intimacy seems hidden, it is always available to us. In the world we inhabit with other people, in the natural world, in the work, and in our relationships. Once we are willing to be directly intimate with our life as it arises, joy emerges out of the simplest of life experiences. Seeing the sunset, eating a warm bowl of chili on a cold day, or listening to the stillness on a frosty morning. That is where joy arises." During our Tuesday evening discussion on the Penn Oxherding pictures a few weeks ago, we discussed getting a glimpse of the ox. An ox half hidden with its head entangled in brambles and somewhat trapped. For some people, enlightenment, realization, or awakening implies some special state of mind or spirit where some transformative mystical experience brings us beyond life's day-to-day problems. If only we had enlightenment, if only we were awakened, then all our relationship issues would disappear. We would have a life free of entanglements and conflict. We would be forever blissfully happy, never get angry, and be the perfect soulmate to someone. As it is, that is not the case. For how can it be? How can we drop out of the world into which we are intimately a part of? We may only catch a glimpse of the eye, but when we catch that glimpse, we are intimate with the ox. If you cannot give a turning word, the Vipassana Buddha is still unable to get the truth, even though he has been striving from earliest time. The Vipassana Buddha was the first of the seven Buddhas of earliest mythological times, or a time before time. You must try, you must put forth concerted effort to know the truth, an effort that arises not from the mind, but from the intimacy of your heart. The koan concludes with the following verse from Uman. "The calling is good, but even better, the answering. How many are there who have opened their true eye? The elder brother calls, the younger brother answers, the family skeleton. This is a spring that does not belong to yin and yang. The call is good. The answer is intimate and direct. Call and respond, arising simultaneously. They meet in stillness. All things are liberated. How many are there who have opened their true eye? Does it even matter? The elder brother called the younger brother answers, the family skeleton. The skeleton is exposed and laid bare. Nothing is hidden in the shadows. Everything is before us, just as it is. No adding or subtracting to the skeleton. Spring does not belong to yin and yang. The Chinese idea of seasons is based on yin and yang, light and dark, male and female. There are forces in play within the season that cause them. This spring, though, is something else. This truth does not belong to anyone. The Buddha, Makashapa, no one owns the truth. None are separate from the source. This is a spring of intimacy, of brotherly love. In this case, Makashapa manifests the truth directly, and the answer is even better. Nothing exists between them. All are one. All are whole and complete in the moment. We don't need to look to get what the Buddha, Makashapa, or Ananda had. You must simply uncover what we already have. It is noteworthy to know that previously, when the Buddha was alive, he and Ananda went for a walk. At that time, Ananda said to the Buddha, "Teacher, to have companions and comrades on the great way is amazing. I have come to realize that friendship is fully half of the authentic spiritual life." After they had walked in silence for a while, the Buddha responded, "No, Ananda, without companions and comrades, no one can live into the deep, finding the true harmonies of life to achieve authentic wisdom. To say it simply, friendship is the whole of the spiritual life." Friendship and or relationships are the whole of the spiritual life. We cannot and should not think of Zen as a hideout or an escape from our everyday lives, something apart and separate. Zen is about discovering who we are behind the outer trapping. How do we develop these friendships? We start by acknowledging, "This is me. This is who I am. I have issues, life patterns, and vulnerabilities." If we can turn inward and treat and see our true self, might we then be more receptive to intimacy with others? Everyone wants to be treated with kindness, love, and respect in a relationship. I suggest this Valentine's Day, take a chance. Be a friend to someone. Be open. Put yourself out there. Listen to someone without preconceived ideas or expectations. Be intimate with them. For we are all deeply connected, and within the mystery of intimacy lies the healing of this world. Zen is about the light inside you. The light you weave around your heart. Let this heart shine through. Let your original nature guide you. Let love bring forth. With all beings, we attain Buddhahood.